Listening to CJSF 90.1 broadcasting live from up on Burnaby Mountain. At CJSF, we air public service announcements for not-for-profit community groups, organizations, and events. And we encourage you to submit a PSA and to please send it by email to cjsfpsa@sfu.ca. Be sure to include the details, like the name and contact information for the organization, date, time, location, and a short description of the event or service. Send your PSA information to cjsfpsa@sfu.ca.
The thing is, everything is no good. Everybody's walking around going, this is no good, this won't do, everything is gone wrong.
Do you think that the society that you live in is one you ought to rebel against, or do you think you're rebelling against it?
Yes, definitely rebelling against it.
To ride.
Sitting in a van all day long.
That part's not fun.
That part is not the most fun.
Does it smell in the van?
It smells in the van.
Oh, I like it when it smells. Is it dirty in the van?
It's dirty in the van.
Oh, I like it when it's dirty.
Until I die.
They will listen to that most music,
right.
You know, and that's what we're doing is we're here to alleviate that, you know, get people dancing, help them remember what rock and roll used to be like, and is now, but only in a very few cases.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Revolution Rock here on CJM 99.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area. I'm your host, Dave Constantino, joined with Adam Palche. We're also syndicating across several different stations throughout Canada. Adam, hi, and welcome.
Hello, Dave, and hello, listeners. As Dave so eloquently put it, we are Revolution Rock, and tonight's episode is a biggie. We're going to be bringing you a lot of music from the likes of Taxi Girls, highlighting some music from Daniel Romano. We're going to be looking at the brand new Queens of the Stone Age record, throwing back to one of my favorite records from T-Rex. We're also going to hear a new solo record from Albert Hammond Jr., celebrate the 30th anniversary release of In on the Killtaker by Fugazi. And on a little bit of an unfortunate note, we're also going to be paying tribute to a recently deceased singer-guitarist, Rick Froberg, who's known for being in a number of bands, including Pitchfork, Drive Like Jehu, Hot Snakes, and Obits, passed away on June 30th, very unexpectedly. He was just in his mid-50s and seemed in relatively good health, so this came as quite a shock to the music community. You know, personally, it's very sad to me because I really did get a lot from the music of Hot Snakes and Drive Like Jehu in particular. And, you know, not to say anything else of his other great bands like Opitz or Pitchfork. So we're going to be playing a few sets of music this week, just highlighting his incredible songwriting, guitar playing, and overall contributions to post-hardcore and alternative music.
Yeah, and there's a lot. And people love the music, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. We should also mention, we did mention briefly Daniel Romano. He's actually going to be headlining a brand new music festival that CJAM is going to be putting on called the Higher Ground Music Festival, and it's going to be taking place over 3 days. And so it starts, I believe, on 28th of June. July. June's already over. And there's a lot of bands, a lot of local bands, and some bands from Toronto and Detroit. And there's still stuff being announced. You can get tickets now. If you head to cjam.ca, there's a link. I believe it's $50 for 3 days, and there's over, I don't know how many bands. There's definitely over 20 bands.
That's an amazing fest, you know, just happening in our fair city of Windsor, so definitely check that out. Also, we should mention, if you want to hear anything on this edition of Revolution Rock, we'll do what we can. Dial 519-971-3630 if you're in Windsor, and 1-855-344-2526 if you happen to be in Detroit or anywhere else. And remember, you can also reach us online on the website at revrock.blogspot.com. We're going to start off the show celebrating 30 years of In on the Kill Taker by the band Fugazi, the mighty Fugazi. This band, it's hard to give an introduction to them, considering everything that this group has done in their discography, even though it's been over 20 years since they last released anything. But this album from 1993 is notable for the band working with more experimental sounds, which broadened their scope of songwriting, and also this charted. It was the first Fugazi record to actually chart. So
how high did it chart?
Not that high. It was Fugazi, but still. this is a fantastic record. We'll talk more about it when we come back, but we're going to open up the show with two tracks from In on the Kill Taker by Fugazi, celebrating 30 years. As of this week, you're listening to Revolution Rock. You're on CJAM 99.1 FM.
Bubbling witness, trying to look what you've done. Bubbling witness, and you see. heart beating right down to my toes. I wanted to believe it till it got a little old. The spiders in my tummy told me no, no, no. I hit the ground running, baby, now I'm gone, gone, gone. Maybe I'm not that strong. From I keep on telling these lies.
You're tuned in to CJAM 99.1 FM and listening to Revolution Rock. I'm Adam here with Dave, and we're just coming back from a set there featuring a celebration of 30 years of Fugazi's In on the Kill Taker record, as well as playing a selection of brand new releases, including the last one we heard by PJ Harvey.
Brand new record, which is called I Inside the Old Year Dying.
Mm-hmm. And then we heard the track I Inside the Old Year Dying, the title song from that. Fantastic, varied, brand new release from PJ Harvey, always bringing something new to the table. Still fantastic after all these years. Before that, speaking of songwriters, we heard, as Dave has said, a very popular group, but they're not like a high-charting group, though. It's Boy Genius, which features Phoebe Bridgers, features Lucy Dacus, and...
I can't remember the third.
Julian... Oh, my goodness, folks. I apologize. I'm going to look this data up in just a moment. But anyway, a fantastic new release. It's gotten a lot of critical acclaim. It's called Simply Boy Genius, The Record. From that, we heard the track Satanist.
I believe also they recently came through the area not too long ago.
Around Michigan, I know they were touring about. So I think they're going to be continuing touring for a while. So definitely check them out if you have a chance to.
They are credited as a super group.
Yeah, I hate that term.
It's Julian Baker.
Julian Baker.
I don't know why we forgot that.
Yes, but... apologies. And honestly, I love all three of their solo works. They're all strong singer-songwriters. So I really do love this collaboration that the three have engaged in. Before that, we heard from a band that we actually had a chance to see live. In fact, they opened for X a few years ago, Skating Polly.
We did?
Yes.
I don't recall.
They looked like they were in high school, because they probably were.
I don't recall.
A very, very young band, but they have a brand new album out called Chaos Country Line. From that, we heard All the Choices.
Prior to that, we heard music from London, Ontario's Mono Negatives from their latest release, Crossing Visual Field. We heard Replaceable Anatomy. This band is actually going to be playing a show, I don't know the exact date, but it's coming up, I believe, in a month or so. In Toronto, they're going to be playing a show with the Spits, which is pretty cool.
Very exciting stuff.
And any day now, or very shortly, they are going to announce the vinyl release of this album. Last time when they put out their previous album a few years back, it sold out instantly. So if you want that, which you should, keep an eye on their social medias. Prior to that, we heard some noisy punk/hardcore music from Spiderbite.
Yeah, from Spiderbite, which does feature Daniel Romano, which ties into something we were mentioning. Daniel Romano and the Outfit will be performing as part of the big festival that's taking place in Windsor coming up in the end of July.
Yeah.
That's Higher Ground.
Higher Ground Festival. Mm-hmm. And, what song did we hear? We heard...
Fiberglass City. And again, this is from the latest release from Spiderbite, which is, I guess you could say, his side project or one of his bands he's involved in.
One of his side projects.
One of his many, many bands he's in. Yeah. Hardcore Indebted Band. We heard the song Fiberglass City from The Rainbow and The Dove. And prior to that, we heard two songs from Fugazi's In on the Kill Taker, which celebrates its 30th anniversary this week. We heard Great Cop and Witness Protectious Program.
Protection.
I mispronounced it. Sorry. It's all that Diet Coke I've been drinking. It's really just, it's really killed my tongue.
For anyone that wants to know.
No one does.
Adam wanted to purchase a beverage, and the machine gave him a Diet Coke instead of a non-diet beverage.
Which, honestly, when you're looking at what's the worst possible option of a liquid thing to drink, I don't know what you would drink that's not liquid, but, yeah, Diet Coke was the worst option. Anyway, I'm bitterly drinking it. Getting on to what you're probably curious about, this band Fugazi you may have heard about. This is a huge part of the band's discography, a huge part of their career. They had just really galvanized the post-hardcore independent scene with their compilation record 13 Songs and then Repeater. And they continued on really developing a strong following, a very fierce following that was really clung to everything the band released, and rightfully so. The Mighty Fugazi, with their socially conscious lyrics, their powerful songwriting, and in this album particularly, their penchant for experimentation, going into weird strong song structures and going into almost noise rock in some aspects, really made this a distinct record from what they had released before. And despite all of that experimentation, this ended up being their highest charting record up until that point. They actually cracked the Billboard 200, granted at 153, but still, for a band that pretty much had no conception of being appreciated or accepted by the mainstream in any capacity. Yeah. That's pretty huge.
No mainstream promotion whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really cool stuff there from Fugazi. Coming up next, we're going to get to more music. What are we going to start the next set off
with? Well, next we're going to be actually doing our set in tribute of Rick Froberg. So I think what we'll do is we're going to play a pair of IDs, just reminding you what station you're listening to, and then we're going to do a little bit of an introduction. Just before we do, I do want to mention, if you want more information on that album, In on the Killtaker, that actually has been released as part of the 33 and a third series of books dedicated to classic and influential albums with a contribution by Joe Gross. Highly recommended. It gives a lot of information about the album itself, its history, and its influence. So that is something worth checking out.
Coming up next, we're going to do a set, one of two sets to Rick Froberg featuring bands he was in. We're going to start off with a lot of people like Hot Snakes, but there's also a very large contingent that love this band that we're going to start off with, Drive Like Jehu. This album, Yank Crime, many people feel is one of the best albums of its kind, you know, the post-hardcore albums.
Yeah, I am definitely one of those people, and I think there was a lot of bands this influenced that didn't return upon that investment. Like, I could name check a number of bands that didn't quite follow through with the same level of songwriting quality and musicianship that you heard in Drive Like Jehu, but I'm not going to disparage other bands. All I'm going to say is they really set a template for what post-hardcore music was going to be here on in for the rest of the 1990s, essentially. And then Froberg's songwriting, I think, was really on point. He explored a lot of ideas of anxiety and antipathy to living within this particular culture that we found ourselves in. And while there was a lot of themes of disillusionment and, you know, apathy from youth culture at the time in the 1990s, I mean, that's what it was all framed on, there was a sort of intelligence and a type of wit in his songwriting that wasn't really present in a lot of his contemporaries. You know, Froberg, he could really satirize the culture he was in while also